Recording.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. We're going to at least start the introduction now, and hopefully people will be coming in as I speak. Because the main attraction is, of course, David Shlita. So I was reading the Sefer Insights and Attitudes, Torah Essays and Fundamental Halachic and Hashkafic Issues by Herschel Schacht and Romain Tversky, and I saw something that just caught my mind and caught my eye, and I said, I have an introduction. So, we see that the Sifri comments on the Pasuk, Mo'na Elokei Kedem, that at one point there was a question regarding the reading of the word, is it Ma'on or Ma'ona? The Chacham checked in the three Svarim in the Azara. The actual Sefer that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote is in the Azara as well. Two of them read Ma'ona, and the third read Ma'on. And they decided to follow the majority and establish that the correct spelling of the word would be Ma'ona. Rav Soloveitchik asks, why didn't the Chachamim check all the Sifrei Torah in the world to establish the correct spelling? Why did they only check the three Sforim which were in the Azara? Rav Soloveitchik explained that it would appear that the halachic role of the Sefer Azara is to preserve the accurate text of the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. And of course, just like the Rambam held about the Aleppo Codex as well, was the official accurate text of the Sefer Torah during his lifetime, the halacha considers the Sifrei Azara as the official text. I'm going to skip over a little bit more, and then, of course, it says here, apparently any Sefer which is copied from the Sefer Azara becomes itself a Sefer Azara. It could well be that when the issue came up regarding the spelling of the word Ma'ona, the original Sefer Azara that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu was already in Shemos, and the three Sefer Torah that they did check with were all copies of the Sefer Azara. This season of the year is the most auspicious time for each of us to recommit ourselves to upholding the Torah in its entirety and in the most authentic fashion without distortions or misrepresentations. The best way to latch on to authentic version of the Torah is become a Talmud of one who has a Mesorah, from someone else who in turn has a Mesorah, etc., etc. Just as any Sefer Torah copy from a Sefer Azara gains the status of a Sefer Azara for the sake of preserving the authenticity of Torah, we too have the opportunity now to have a Sefer Azara come and teach us, because he too followed the Sefer Azara of his rabbis, who followed the Sefer Azara of the rabbis that came before him. Without further ado, Tanu Kavod Torah, Marino Rabbi.
First, it's an absolute pleasure to be back, even though I was here several months ago for the 30th yahrzeit of Maran HaRav Zatzal, where I was zoche again to speak from this podium. But Baruch Hashem, every time I return, it's a feeling of tremendous regesh and hakar satov to this wonderful shul. What prompted this sefer? There were two individuals who really, Shala Gidche, Shigeat HaSechel Shali. One was Daron Kornbluth. I don't know if some of you know him. He works for Mosaica Press. He's the editor of Mosaica Press. Comes to a Shir and Tanakh that I give on Shabbos once a week. And the other was Yedidi HaYokar VeHachoviv Rav Shalom Razna, Gamkin Shigeat HaSechel Shali. And he told me I should write stories of Gedoli Yisrael that he's heard in the course of many years. It's not really my signon, bichlal, but there was a period of time where I was laid up. Apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that in order that this Sefer should come to fruition, perhaps he will not enable me, but disable me. And in the course of it, I'll be able to write the Sefer. Sometimes the concept of the Beit HaLevi propagated Sibab B'Sovav once again came to the fore. So, to a large extent, my entire life really is a function of my parents, Aleihem HaShalom. My father specifically and my mother as well felt strongly at a very young age I should become attached to Gedolei Yisrael. I'm talking about the age of 5 or 6 or 7, which is absolutely out of the box from every standpoint. So I remember my father, Olav Hashalom, took me to the Pioneer Country Club, Olav Hashalom, in the Catskills. And our Soloveitchik there spoke on behalf, usually Mizrahi conventions, in Yiddish. I grew up in Yiddish, that's not the problem. But I was 6 or 7 years old. Le'ezer toilet. And my father thought there was a toilet, v'hayu enecha, wrote in marecha. That's what he felt. And so I attended, I went to the Pioneer Country Club a fair number of years, goes back many decades ago. And it wasn't just then, but I would say that in the course of Kimat, my entire upbringing was largely based on great Talmidei Chachamim, great Torah scholars, Gedolei Yisrael, and more or less they helped me develop a Torah Weltschang. And that was really probably the primary influence in my life. My parents were simple people who never merited receiving a formal Jewish education. Their Amunah in Hashem was indomitable, punctilious observance of mitzvahs, which was sui generis in every respect, unparalleled. And they had a love for their fellow man that was manifest in boundless chesed. They didn't discriminate between anyone. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I see all types of different groupings, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Litaim, Teimanim, less observant, more observant. To me, they're all the same. That's how I grew up. Belila Avchid. And my father also instilled in me a work ethic. Very strong work ethic. A strong drive to be autonomous, to be ruggedly independent. My father's a Cooper Union graduate and thought that I was also headed in that direction. I actually was in my undergraduate years. Then I came to Eretz Yisrael, and as my father said, you went off the derech. I veered from the course. His idea was I should be more or less the courses that I took in as an undergraduate, calculus, organic chemistry, quantum mechanics, physics. That's what I did. And that's where I was headed for, till somehow the Eretz Yisrael piece, as I indicated, totally and completely shunted me in a different direction. But my father implanted in me a desire to cling to Torah scholars, and they shaped and molded my personality. There were probably several great, outstanding Talmidei Chachamim that generated, really, they were models, role models par excellence for me. And I'll just mention a number of them. At a very tender age, my Rebbe, Hagon Rav Tzvi Dov Kanatapsky Zatzal, Talmud Muvok of Rav Soloveitchik, a Rav in Young Israel of Eastern Parkway, and later on, Young Israel of West Hempstead. He was an astounding personality. Very passionate in his shiurim and his drasha, insatiable love of Torah. And in 1971, he made Aliyah. He loved Eretz Yisrael. Avat Nefesh. I asked him, Me'efo me'ayin, where did that come from? Mishul Ombeid Ramban al Torah. Barur. Barur Kachama. He knew the Ramban, the highways and byways of the Ramban inside out. He really opened up my heart and mind at a very young age to the beauty of Torah. I was about 16, 17 years old when I was exposed to him. I mentioned in the Sefer that he was the Talmud Muvok of the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav used to wake him up 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. They walked along the banks of the Hudson River, and the Rav shared with him Divrei Torah. It's an Ilui, but a very, very incredibly warm person, and had a massive influence on my life. Hagoyin Avraham Lichtenstein Zatzal, to me, presented a model of righteousness and brilliance. In the Sefer also I wrote, I only had one suffix about him. What was greater, his Gaonut or his Tzadikut? I heard from Yom Mishpacha, Yedideinu, Rabbi Yom Tavori, Zechasag Debracha. They once tried again to speak Lashon Hara. They were not Matzliach. It was on Purim, so it was a Makom L'Hakel. His scintillatingly, carefully crafted analysis of the Talmudic Sugyot were masterpieces of precision and logic. His analysis was sharp and unquestionably had a massive influence on my life. My Rebbe Hagon, the Nisim Albert Zatzal, Talmud Muvok of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, was a Talmud Muvok of, as I said, the Gadol Ador. He nurtured my nascent interest in chinuch and the rabbinate. He was a living sefer Torah. I remember I asked Avraham Lichtenstein when he was nifter, a very young man, what did he think about Nisim Alpert? So he told me he was a chefz of a shtickel Torah. Whatever you spoke to him about, he had a shtickel Torah to say. Whether it was in a black Gemara, a piece of Chumash, something in Tanakh, or the New York Times. We actually used to eat lunch with him in the what they called then the Greasy Spoon, across the street from the yeshiva, and he would analyze world affairs right in front of us. And he guided me for a period of 21 years. At my chasana, something extraordinary happened. Rav Soloveitchik was supposed to be Masada Kedushin. The day of the chasana, he calls me up and tells me, a third cousin is getting married in Boston. I said, a third cousin? He's even kosher labors. Why does he have to go to that chasana? So he explained to me, you don't understand brisk. Mipsor chaloisi salam. In brisk, family is everything. I was absolutely, you cannot imagine. I went into a major, massive depression. So he told me, Avishai David, there are no other rabbis coming to the chasana. Ich bin der Einzige. I'm the only rab. So I said, no, there are no other rabbis. There was a long list of about 20. But there are no other rabbis. He's the only one. So he told me, let me see the list. And we started going down, Rabbi Lichtenstein and Rabbi Herschel Schecht, and a long, long list. And essentially we came to one that I had a connection with, but not such a close connection, HaGoyin of Noach Bornstein. So he said, oh, he should be Masada Kedushin. I said, why? What about your son-in-law? What about your Talmidim? What about some others? So he told me he was the number one Talmud of Briskalov, the sharpest mind in the whole yeshiva, a Goyin Adir, he should be. Fine. So I went to his home on the morning of the Chasana. I asked him to be Masada Kedushin. So he told me, I never was Masada Kedushin. He doesn't speak English. That was the Erech Shemol. First time in my life. I had Masada Kedushin. I don't know much about Siddur Kedushin. He knows Kol HaTorah Kula, but not much about Siddur Kedushin. Kol Mishini Yodeh, but if you give Kedushin, but you're Esek Imayim, and you're wrong Kedushin. Okay, so I went to speak to his chaver, Rav Ruchem Grelick, also a Briska. I asked him, what should I do? He said, bring several ksubis with you, because he's likely to tear them all up. So I got all frightened. At that time, there were no Judaic study sources available. Okay, so I went, I found, was able to put together three ksubis. Three different ones. Three different ksubis. At that time, they weren't available. No Amazon. No pulling it out of a simple telephone and the like. Fine, we come to the chasana. He reads this with the ksuba. In the second line, he tore the ksuba miyad. I asked him, why is he tearing it? It's against the Ramban in ksubis. I don't know which Ramban, I don't know what he's talking about. I got frightened. I only had two left. So I went, go to Rav Grelick. Rav Grelick said, Daginish, we'll take care of it. We'll ask him Akashi and Asugi and Zvochim. He'll forget he's at the chasana. He'll forget he's at the Masada Kedushin. And then bring Rav Nissim Alpert, he'll take care of it. 1, 2, 3. The Kachava. That's what happened. He was totally diverted his attention. And they're discussing with him Asugi and Zvochim. Literally, Rav Nissim Alpert came in, filled the ksuba. 1, 2, 3. When we get to the chuppah, so then, Rav Noach Bornstein said, Abu is the ksuba. Where is it? They wouldn't show it to him. So Rav Nissim Alpert certainly had a major influence on my life as well. Of course, the one individual who towered above all was the Rav Zatzal. I married him sitting in the shir in the yeshiva for about 70 years. Attended the Shul Maria in Manhattan for about 13 years. Every summer was a devoted attendee. Every single summer, many beautiful, wonderful things that we studied in the course of the summers, many mesechtes, krisos, things I never would have seen in my entire life. I was zechet with Rav Soloveitchik. He opened up to me vistas of Torah that were absolutely an analytic, conceptual, systematic approach. We were so borne aloft by his shiurim, spiritual heights, metamorphosed us, completely transformed our personalities. To my mind, again, I'm slightly biased. He was the salvation of American Jewry, the salvation of the American rabbinate. He saved the American rabbinate, he saved the American Jewry, and he was able to utilize, let's call it scientific jargon, methodology, and concepts to illustrate his shiurim, his openness, mind-boggling creativity, were beacons of light, but at the same time rooted deeply in Masorah, in the bedrock of tradition, and his influence on my personality is incalculable. So that more or less is the, by way of kind of backdrop. I was actually going to, maybe I still will, since this is not exactly my signon, this kind of sefer, but Rabbi Razna told me it will sell more svarim than any other thing you write in your entire life. And I see he's correct. He knows what he's talking about. I'll just mention the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin. The Gemara asks the question, we know there's a din of blowing a shofar Rosh Hashanah, mitzasei. The Rambam has it, l'shmoa tu'a tashofar Rosh Hashanah, shenema yom tu'a yelochem. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, lama tokin. Why do we blow? The Gemara says, lama tokin, rachmona amar tiku. Torah said, you should blow the shofar. So the Gemara then rephrases the question, lama meriyin. Why do we blow, why do we sound the tru'a? Gemara says, Marian, Rachmana, Mazichon Tru'a. The Gemara changes the expression when it comes to Tkiya Shofar, Rachmana Matiko. When it comes to Tru'a, Rachmana Mazichon Tru'a. Ela Lama Tokin Marian Shein Yoshvin, Vitokin Marian Shein, Omden Kne La'arve, Esasot. There are many questions on this Gemara. The Gemara could have answered. When Rabbi Yitzchak inquired about the origin of mitzvah shofar, the Gemara has at the end of the Masechta, a gzera shava, that's the makar to Yovel. Yovel is a din ba'avarta shofar tu'a. The same halacha applies over here as well, in Rosh Hashanah. Sheyu kol tu'a shechodesh shvi zeh kozeh. The Gemara does not do that. So, as far as the shakal v'tayr of the Gemara, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal something very beautiful, which I thought I would share with you before I regale you with many, many vignettes that are not found in the Sefer. The Rav argued very passionately that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of shofar, two distinct kiyumim. On the one hand, shofar is a technical mitzvah similar to achilas matzah. There's an objective act, bola matzah yotza, b'erev tochu matzos. On the other hand, shofar also has another element to it, namely an element of tefillah. Tkiya shofar is tefillah, the way the Baal HaTanya expressed it, crying without words. There are two types of nigunim, nigunim with words, nigunim without words. So, in effect, what we have in the context of the tkiya shofar, we have these two elements. We have, number one, the formal objective mitzvah, and we also have shvarim tru'a, the groaning, the cries, animals that pray to Hashem instinctively, blindly, without rational thought, as does the cosmos, the rest of the universe, the sounds that are emitted, that's the shira of creation, the tefillah of creation. And the entire cosmos, all creation, joined man in offering shira to Hashem. And our Soloveitchik brought many, many proofs to corroborate this. You saw it, I'll just mention a few of them, namely the notion of shofar being tefillah, the bracha, which is well known, ki ato shomea kol shofar, umazin tru'a v'yandom alach, Baruch atah Hashem shomea kol truat amo Yisrael berachamim. Truat amo Yisrael berachamim, in the context of Shemoneh Esrei, that obviously the mitzvah of shofar, which clearly is part of tefillah. Beyond that, the Gemara has a famous machloket as far as the physical description of the shofar. Is it kafuf? Is it pashut? And then the Gemara also clearly indicates, if you hold that it's kafuf, kama dekayv inish trei mali, namely, the idea that shofar is bound with tefillah. It's bound with the idea that a person is, in effect, coming to Hashem and with all of his heart and soul. Beyond that, the Ran quotes a Yerushalmi that one cannot blow from the wider aperture of the shofar, but rather the smaller aperture, mimamakim kosicha Hashem. And there are many other proofs that Rav Soloveitchik cited to this idea that shofar essentially is tefillah. Probably the major proof is that Chavav Rosh Hashanah came into the Zichron ki lefnai lefnim dami. Literally, the element of shofar is literally being in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, and that's the Rambam, well known to all of us, that even though the Rambam says ki ha-shofar gzeras ha-kosofi remez yesh bedoba, the rough thought, this Rambam is reflecting that Gemara. Gzeras ha-kosof, Rachmano Matiku, Remez Yesh B'davar, that's the second part, Bahari Yosem, namely the element of tefillah, that component of tefillah that's embedded in the shofar, and that is essentially why the Gemara stresses both Lama Tokin and Lama Merin. Lama Tokin is the mitzvah of shofar, the raw physical, mechanical act of blowing the shofar. Lama Merin is the tefillah component of shofar. And that's how Rav Soloveitchik understood this duality. And this also can be seen as well in the Gemara Shoshana, also famous Rachav Tess, I believe it is, where the Gemara cites two psukim. This year is relevant. Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. We have on Shabbos, Shabbos on Zichron Trua. And of course, the next day, then we have Yom Trua Yelachem. There again, the two elements come to the fore. On the second day, the Maisa Mitzvah of blowing the shofar. And the first day on Shabbos, the Zichron, which is really in the context of Tefillah, without the formal Mitzvah of blowing the shofar. There's what we have, these two elements, this duality, which is relevant. One of the major elements in the Sefer is the Chazal, and I wrote extensively about this. Someone told me it's not an introduction, it's an entire Sefer. It's only about 10 pages. An Gedola Shimusha Shel Torah Yosef Limuda. Anything that I acquired in my lifetime primarily came as a result of observing, carefully scrutinizing behavior of my Rabbeim, literally following them around. There are many such Gemaras, I won't get into the specific details of these Gemaras in Brachas and elsewhere. But the Yesod I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, many times he commented on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misina. Yoshua ben Nun became the Mamali Makom of Moshe Rabbeinu largely because, as the Rambam says, he may not have been intellectually the most acute. That's already found in Chazal. There were others who received the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet the Yoshua Shu Talmido Shem Moshe Rabbeinu Masa Torah Shemapeh B'tzivo Aleh. Because of his G'dolah Shimusha Shel Torah Yosef Milimuda, he was Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu Loyamish B'toch HaOel. That's the reason why he was zochah to become the Manig Yisrael, falling upon the heels of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that element is essentially what Pirkei Avos Rav Soloveitchik said is all about. Hu Haya Omer Magala B'Pumei. Essentially, it's a Masora, not of necessarily a masorah of shmiya, but a masorah of riyah. Carefully examining and observing the lifestyle of these gedolei Yisrael, these saintly personalities, and as a result, trying to model oneself after that. So now I'll begin to hopefully regale you with a number of vignettes. Not all of them, most of the ones I'm saying now are not included in the Sefer. You might ask why. The Sefer was written quite a while ago. And then when I wanted to add a lot, there were individuals who passed away. Rav Chaim Drukman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I wrote a set of hesped and yeshiva for him. Then I wrote it up. And Rav Avraham Bransfield, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. But it was way after I submitted it. And the publishers indicated I would have to wait another year in order to publish and add these items. And then we had a number of great Rosh Yeshiva who felt, most of them that you know here, that some of the stories were a little too charif to be included in the Sefer, and the audience might come to the maskana that some of these Gedolei Yisrael are absolute lunatics. So they felt it was not appropriate, talking about Hagoyin Rav Shechter Shlita, Hagoyin Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita, so therefore there was more censoring that took place as well, but Mitzvah Hashem, hopefully I'll publish that uncensored edition one day. So now I'll begin with a story that I heard from one of Rav Soloveitchik's grandchildren. A Meshulach came to Boston for obvious reasons, to raise money, and the Rav's Rebbetzin was not there at that point in time. The Rav was ready to eat supper by himself, and his grandson was there, a very young grandchild. And this grandchild was my roommate. Hagoyin HaTzadik Rav Moshe Trotsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I had two roommates. Rav Chaim Milson, Yibod L'Chaim Arukim, who spoke here. And Rav Moshe Trotsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Actually, I never saw them. I went to sleep at night at a normal hour, 12, 1 o'clock. And they appeared when I woke up at 5 a.m. in the morning. That's when they appeared. They were busy learning Kachin together most of the night for many years. And I was busy, Baruch Hashem, enjoying life, sleeping at night, learning a bit during the day. Anyway, so the Meshulach comes, And he's tired, he's exhausted, drained of energy, hard day of work, collecting. And he comes in to Rav Soloveitchik, the whole conversation is in Yiddish. And he tells the Rav that he's tired, he's hungry, he needs clearly tzedakah. And the Rav was known to be Bal Chesed Mufla, beyond belief. Probably most of you are not aware, there was a great Gaon who came to the United States without Parnassa, a Gaon of Chaim Hillel, and Tzad Nirocha, and the Rav supported him. This I heard from a Balabas who was involved in Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik of Chaim Hillel. Many, many years ago I heard this. Literally, Rav Soloveitchik, one third of his salary, with the permission of his wife, went to this Agoyin of Chaim Hillel, who had no panosa whatsoever. The Rav used to introduce him from time to time. He would say a shir, about 15, 20 minutes, and then the Rav would explain what he said in 4 hours. So, this Meshulach there, the Rav apparently gave him, on the spot, $200. This is what the grandson told me. Then, the fellow starts speaking to the Rav, because he clearly has no one to talk to, and Rav Soloveitchik sat there, they had a conversation, then in the middle he tells the Rav, Ich bin sehr hungrig, I'm very hungry. So the Rav said, what am I going to do? My Rebbe says, not here. Oh, the Rav said, but here's my supper, here, have my supper. And the Rav gave him his supper. Fine, after the supper, he says to the Rav, ganz gut, it was very good. Oh, but not trinken etwas, I have to drink something. So he said, what do you want to drink? So he said, soda. So the Rav said, soda, was ist das? What's soda? So he said, soda. Alle wissen, was ist soda? The grandson spoke to me in Yiddish. Everyone knows that it's what soda is. So I said, no, I'd never heard of it my entire life. So he's trying to explain to him what soda is in Yiddish. Finally, after about 15 minutes, he tells him, soda is Wasser mit ein bisschen Zeva. Water with a little coloring. So the Rav said, oh, you mean pop. That's what they call it in Boston. I think Chicago also. They call soda pop. You mean pop. Said, yeah, das ist was ich mein. That's what I mean. Pop, me trink nur bei a chassene. Only bei a chassene drink pop. Who drinks pop in the middle of the week? That story left such an impression on me. Before I came to Eretz Yisrael, I'm not telling you in any chronological order. I'm just going to be free association. I said shiurim in many yeshivotes there. About 13. I was offered several jobs, including Rabban Lechazit, that's all. Moira Rabbi. And I'm going to Lachim Rabbi Davids, I'm going to Baal Lichasim, but offer me jobs in Malia Dumim. A few other places. I said, let me see, take a look at the lay of the land, see where I belong, where I don't belong. Out of nowhere, and I said shiurim in 13 Hezdi Yeshivot. I got into Hakotel through Kurt Rothschild, Zechasag Devracha. He got me in. That was not a simple matter. A lot of politics over there. Anyway, and then Rav Goldberg and Kerem Yabne offered me a position to be a Ram. Rav Slezzi offered me a position in Shalabim to be a Ram. But those two positions required that you have to live there. Namely, I have to live with the cows and give up Washington. And essentially on the campus of Yeshivat Shalabim. Cows also, but not the same extent as Kerem Yabne. Anyway, out of nowhere comes Rav Chaim Drukman, Zechatzag Lebracha, and offers me a job. So I said to him, a rabbi says, Shani Avir Shiur, Mashu Kazir, no, in Tzorach, Ani Shamati Alecha, in Tzorach. He offered me a job. But he tells me, I have an idea. Come to the yeshiva for Shabbos. You'll see what it's like. And you'll get a sense of whether you fit in or don't fit in. So I come there, Pasha Vaychi. Place was Malay the Gadush, jam-packed. That time the yeshiva was probably in its heyday, 1993. And the Shabbos davening was, I don't even know how to describe it, beyond belief. Mali regesh, unbelievable, very taken by it. And then he speaks, and he spoke on the Rashi, three pshatim that Rashi quotes, namely in Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu was frightened, Al no tikvareini b'mitzrayim. Rashi has three malchim. So he gets up there, Al no tikvareini b'Toronto. I was living in Toronto at the time. I said, he doesn't know what it says in the pasuk. It says b'Mitzrayim. The only problem is he repeated that pasuk 7 times. Al no tikvareini b'Toronto. So I'm looking around. I said, to whom is this relevant? Clearly, not anyone in the entire yeshiva, except for me. I was astounded. After the drasha is over, after Ma'ariv, there's the lineup, the Sacred Shabbos of Rosh Yeshiva. I say good Shabbos to him, and I said, Rosh HaYeshiva, it kaven elai? Shoma, I'm not tigvareni b'tronto? So he says to me, Harav David, in his inimitable English, he was a Chaver Knesset, if the shoe fits, wear it! That's what he told me. I'll never forget that. So that was my introduction to Eretz Yisrael, to Rav Chaim Drukman. I remember that Friday night. The meal didn't begin for another hour. He sang Ribono Olamim for 45 minutes. I couldn't believe what was going on. I love Rav Chaim Drukman. Chad Bedora. I never met anyone like him my entire life. Beisa Pursuach Levocha. Chesed, every corner of his, literally, and the Rebbetzin, Tibbadal Chaim Arukin, Dr. Drukman, Lo Yuman Ki Yisupa. Their house was open 24-7. Many times, I appeared there at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. I figured that's what those are the hours. Baron Soloveitchik, when I was in high school, I followed him around. I literally stalked him in the yeshiva at YU, Yeshiva University High School. Just a few days ago, we go to Baruch Hashem Habei Chatunot, like 3 a week, about 120 a year, not exaggerating, Lo Yuman. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his youngest son, wonderful, wonderful, absolutely very bididut with him for many, many years. I'm also friendly with all the members of the family. So he told me the following story about his father, which I heard actually from someone else, but I asked him if it's true. That's what I wanted to find out. My mechutin actually comes from Chicago, Rav David Siegel, and he told me also many, many stories about Rabban Salvatius is one of them. There was a young man who was not so well, a very young man, maybe he was 7 years old, had many, many issues, mental issues. And apparently he left his house one Shabbos morning at 6 o'clock, and the Baron was walking to Brisk, to Daven in Brisk, as he was wont to do. And around 7 o'clock or so, he saw this young man walking on the street, and he became very frightened, the Baron. This fellow was walking. He's not completely, as I said, operating with, unfortunately, with a full deck, so to speak. And so the Baron asked him, where's he going? So he said he left his home, but he can't find his home anymore, and he doesn't know where to go. So Rav Baron had some idea, not exactly, of where his parents lived. His parents were connected to him and connected to Brisk Yeshiva. So Rav Baron said, let me take you and let me walk home with you. And apparently it was about an hour walk, approximately. Different part of Chicago, completely. And Rav Baron walked all the way with him. And then they came to his home. He said, yeah, this is my house. And when they came in, Rav Baron said, what would you like to do? He said, I would like to play some games now on the floor. So Rav Baron Soloveitchik got on the floor and played games with him for approximately 45 minutes till the parents heard noise downstairs and they came down and they were astounded to see the Gadol HaDor, Baron Soloveitchik, on the floor with this young man playing games with him. These things always I find to be astounding. And then he went to Brisk. He said he might miss the Zman Kriya Shema of the Mogad Avraham, which he was makpid about. But at least the Gadol he'll still make, so he wasn't worried. There's a well-known story that my mother's cousin told me, Rav Simon, he was a Rebbe in Maimonides in Boston for many, many years. He's a Mir Talmud from Shanghai. And his son-in-law, we grew up together, Kenny Chels from Detroit, professor of operation research, mathematics. Anyway, so there was a well-known story, a beautiful story, again, similar to Rav Baron. I guess both brothers are clearly of the same nature. There was a little boy who was thrown out of a class in Maimonides because he was not up to snuff in terms of his learning. And he was in the hallway and he's crying. And Rav Soloveitchik passes by. He used to come to Maimonides minimally once a week, sometimes longer, sometimes test Talmidim, sometimes to visit the school, which he founded with his Rebbetzin. And the little boy, he sees him crying. The Rebbe asks him, why are you crying? He said, my teacher threw me out of class. I didn't know the material in Chumash. So Rav Soloveitchik, can I help you? So he asked the Rebbe, do you know the material? Are you familiar with the Chumash? So he didn't know who the Rav was. And the Rav says, I think I have some idea. here and there, and then the Rav sat down with him. This was witnessed by a number of people. I've heard the story now from three, literally, Aiden, who were there, who witnessed it, and we just couldn't believe them what was going on over there. And this is typical Soloveitchik. I used to play basketball with Agoyin Laban Lechassin. I really shouldn't say I played basketball with him. He was also on the court. I remember he would come down with a pile of svarim, literally, a pile. I'm talking about 15, 20 svarim. A few moments I'll indulge myself. Something along those lines. And then he would play for about 45 minutes to an hour, and we would join him. Rav Tavori Zatzal, and he also was there, a few more other Rashi Yeshiva, Mordechai Willig, Yibadol Chaim Arukim, Heshi Reichem, Yibadol Chaim Arukim. And this is what I saw. People claim otherwise, but this is what I witnessed myself. They would foul him, and they would say, "Ooh, excuse me, I apologize to you profusely for my wayward behavior." That's how he would speak. They fouled him, and he apologized to them. I saw this many, many times. I remember he was in Ovil for his mother and father. So I was a Rashiv in Toronto, Yeshivat Or Chaim. He came to test Talmidim. I really couldn't understand why he came to test Talmidim. He basically tested them for about 3-4 hours. He's a Talmidim who could barely lo korav lo shonu, the koshi. They read Hebrew. And he would test them on all Baba Kama and all Baba Basa, whatever Masechti were learning. I never understood. I was present at the test. And so when he was in Ovel for his mother and father, he asked me if he could daven for the Amid. I said, of course. But I pointed out to him that these young men, that Mincha is maximum 15 minutes, probably a bit less than that, more closer to 10, and he has to be cognizant of that. And he said, of course, of course. And then I told him the minhag was there to daven Hechad Kedusha. He said, no, he doesn't subscribe to that. It has to be Chazar Hashatz. And so I said, yeah, but there may be a problem. I said, they're not really capable of handling that. And he said, no, I'm sure they'll see that I daven, that I mean well, trying to daven. And his davening, his weekday davening, was like my davening or Shul Yom Kippur. That's the maskona I came to. Anyway, he davened 20 minutes. The Sal Shemoneh Esrei was 10 minutes. And before I knew it, the only two people left in the minyan were he and I. They all left to play basketball. And so I didn't know what to do. So he finishes Shemoneh Esrei, and then he looks around. And he says to me, La Nilmu, where did they go? And then he cites to me the Machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid by the Shemot of Psukim Shabbat Torah, Taisim of Abasa, Taisim of Menachos, that the different shot of what happened with a Psukim. And according to some, he showed him there's no need for a minion. So of course the Ravid asks, till now there was a minion, so where'd they go? So he quoted that Ravid in order to explain, ask me what's going on over here. So I said, listen, I explained to the Shiva that you know, they only have a limited amount of time, and basketball is Deicha Tefillah B'Tzivua, it's Pasha. So, what are we going to do? I need Chazar Hashatz. So I went out to the basketball court, and as they say, Ki Hashochad Yavei Nei Chachomim Yisalad Yivei Tzadikim. I bribed each one of them, gave them a fair amount of Canadian money, and as a result, they came back. This happened not once, not twice, 3 times. This story occurred. He came twice, 1 year to Toronto, and another year. He also was at Lovell. I want to tell you about Hagoyin Rav Nochum Rabinovitz. I didn't write about him in the Sefer. I didn't feel I knew him well enough. Roshid Malei Adumin. An astounding personality. Also one of those who, he was in Toronto for a fair number of years. He also convinced me to come to Eretz Yisrael. There were many, many people who worked on me, Baruch Hashem, successfully. And I owe a lot to them. A lot of Hakaras HaTov. This story was told to me by Aaron Frankel. Aaron Frankel was one of the balabatim in the Clanton Park Shul. Outstanding balabas. He told me the following story. When he was a rabbi in the Clanton Park Shul in Toronto, in Canada, the Yom Kippur War began, and Rav Nochum Rabinovitz decided to make a magbit for the State of Israel. Right thing to do on Yom Kippur night. An appeal for the State of Israel. He gets up there. He and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein were very similar. Both, I call them Scholem HaNivdolim, disembodied intellects. They were not people of necessarily passion. They had a lot of passion. But the intellectual element was so overriding and so overpowering that you almost didn't see that passion that was certainly there in both of them. And he makes an impassioned plea for the State of Israel. Now we have to raise money. The situation here is one of matzav and mitzuka, and the government needs money. And what was the response? The Ein Kol, the Ein Kosher. This is a shul, which is probably, Ariyom Azeh, one of the, how should we say it, more well-heeled synagogues in Toronto. There are several, how should I call them, oligarchs, who constitute a good segment of the shul. I won't mention names right now, but they're Baruch Hashem. Ein Kol, the Ein Kosher. He's astounded. I heard this from Aaron Frankel, then I heard it from the Shiva himself. I guess if the story is correct, he told me it's 100% true. He was so astounded, he didn't know what to do. His mouth was agape. He was shocked. So he waited 5 minutes, total quiet. 5 minutes later, he announced that he's giving his entire salary, maskaret of the year, to the State of Israel. Okay, the pundits will tell you, Canadian dollars... And was it on par with the American dollar at that point in time? Who said that in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $70,000, that's what he made. He was also a professor of mathematics at the University of Toronto. So he had some panosa. It's not that he was without panosa. The shul was in a state of Helen. He gave his entire salary to the State of Israel. In the next 15 minutes, the shul raised $5 million for the State of Israel. That's where the shul is at. This is Hagoyin of Nochem Avinovitz. Very astounded by that event. Unbelievable. I was lucky in Toronto to have a connection with Hagoyin of Gedalia Felder. I wrote a little bit about him. I didn't really know him so well. He already, unfortunately, had a stroke when I came there. But he was the sandik for our youngest son. And I went there on Yom Tov a number of times. I saw it said Yashikach to the Kohanim, which is what I do. And so I asked them, what the source for saying Yashikach to Kohanim? The reason why they don't do an Eretz Yisrael, because people tell me Zeh Davar, which is not a Chad Pami thing in Chutz Laaretz, what, 5-6 times a year? So it's something which is extraordinary here every day, so there's no need for it. But I heard from many Gedolei Yisrael, starting with Hagoyin of Avraham HaKohen Pam Zatzal. I used to attend his Sichot when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. I was a high school student, no school on Friday, in MTA. And so my father didn't know what to do with me. I'm a middle child. Middle child syndrome, rebellion, automatically. That's what the books say. So I had to carry it out. Anyway, so my father didn't know what to do with me, so he sent me to Brooklyn, to Williamsburg, Batar Vadas, where he was a Shiva, Rapam, and with a 2-hour train ride. And then he would sit me right in front of him. I was 13 years old, 14 years old, very young. He said to Avrechim, to members of the Kollel, in Yiddish. And he said Sichot, very beautiful Sichot. I fell in love with him as well. And after that, a slice of pizza. Another 2 hours on the ride on the way home on the train, and my father could say on a weekly basis, Bo Shep Torani Me'on Shel Shelzeh. Probably said it with Sheva Malchus. So, Rav Gedalia Felder, I asked him the mocker for Yashikach. Rav Pam told me the mocker is the Acheret. Someone gives you a bracha, thank him for the bracha. And then he quoted his Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Reuven Gruzovsky, the was connected to Rav Baruch Ber, that he said, a kohen who gives a bracha be'ava, kum te'ay ashekach, that you love all, call yourself, Mishavur kosim desoya, a kohen derochem na'ama lo yivarech. If he, God forbid, has any tina belibo, anyone in the audience could be a sakona. So he has to be completely be'ava, the only bracha that has such a tenai, that it should be be'ava. So therefore, deserves to give me ashekach. I asked Rabbi Felder, he told me something so original, Ariyom was there, I haven't recovered from what he told me. He cited to me a Rambam. The Rambam has in Hilchot Tzvila, the laws of Vichas Kohanim, the Rambam mentions that, let's say I have a Kohen who's not so ayayay, his ethics and his morals. The Rambam calls him, Al titma al Kohen hedyotzeh. Don't get excited. How can he give you a bracha? Clearly he leaves a lot to be desired by his personal, or lack of personal virtues and lack of standards and the like. Said the Rambam, no, he's not the Baal HaBracha, he's only presenting to you the bracha on a kind of magash shel zahav, and he is the tzaneret, the som which me al b'nei yisrael v'ani avorchem, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who obviously is blessing Klal Yisrael, and he is the shliach for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So even though he's a head yod, he's permitted to give you a bracha, and you can accept his bracha. So he told me, what's the mocker for the Rambam? A Gemara Baba Kama, Gemara the end of HaChedo. Gemara has a discussion that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua ben Nun, so the Gemara has a whole, I'm not going to go through the whole song and dance of the Gemara there, but the Gemara says, how do you know? The Chamer the Mora, but Tivut the Shakya. The wine belongs to the Balabayit, but the Ashikach goes to the waiter, goes to the person You have to give him a gratuity. Here in SSL, they're very familiar with the Hebrew word tip, a very fine Hebrew word. Anyway, so the that's what you do. The Gemara brings a wife from those psukim. So he tells me, Rav Felder, that's the Pshat Rambam. Namely, you give a yashkar to the waiter, the kohen is the waiter. He's presenting to you the bracha of Hashem, a magash el zahav. But the bala bracha, chamer lamara, that belongs to Hashem is barach, v'tivut el shakir. I was astounded by that explanation. I remember, I heard it, I was in Toronto from 1984 to 1994, for close to 10 years, and I remember, I called my Rebbe, I got to Lisa Malpert, and told him that pshat. He said, when you come to New York, you got to tell the Shiva this pshat. Tell Rav Moshe this pshat. Moshe was at the end of his life, almost the end of his life, but he was Shafui Bedato. And so I went to Rav Moshe, I told him pshat of Gedalia Felder, and he hugged me. He hugged me and kissed me. He said, it was kedai to meet you just to hear this pshat of the Goyen in Canada. I remember Erev Yom Kippur, Rav Soloveitchik, day before Erev Yom Kippur, he still said Shiurim. So the year he said Shiurim on the Avodah, he said Shiurim on the in the Chodesh Elul, the entire month. He went through the whole Masechta Yoma, the Mishnayot Yoma, made the Rambams, made the Gemaras. From there, I'm familiar with the Avodah from those Shiurim. So that year, he was saying that so many people are calling him up and asking him for forgiveness. So many people. He said the people tell me that they maligned him and they said things about him that were not so pleasant and all kinds of different stories and the like. And he said he couldn't understand why they were calling him up to ask for forgiveness, because he was so beyond all this pettiness and all this foolishness. He didn't take anything in a personal kind of way, and trust me, he was maligned. In the Sefer, this I will quote, the following story which I witnessed myself. One of the Tshuva Drashas that Rav Soloveitchik gave is jam-packed. These Tshuva Drashas in the Lamport Auditorium, there was always an overflow audience, and they had it, many, many thousands of people were zochet to hear this. And so, at the end of the drasha, I actually took an older Rav, HaGoyin HaMoshe Schneider. I used to drive him to the shir. I mentioned this story years ago, a number of times. I'm very fond of the story. This HaMoshe Schneider, his father was a chavrusa of Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz's father, Rav Alter Shmuel Levitz, in Stutzin, somewhere in Europe. And so he asked me to come and take him, and I took him on two occasions. One occasion he didn't like the shir, and after about 15 minutes he started screaming at the Rav. We sat right in front, and Rav Soloveitchik didn't know what to do with this gentleman. Apparently he knew him, and he said, Zatzchavek and Schweig, be quiet, and I'm saying the shir, loves me up. And this guy, every 10 minutes he got up and said, "Das nit richtig gepshat, this is wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong." And the Rav said, "I think I know the sugya, I ken the sugya." And he said, "Nein, you kenish the sugya." And so going on in front of about 1,000 people. And then finally, after about a half hour, he tells me, "This is not a shir which is worthy to be heard. Megeit ahein, driver, we're going home." So I didn't know what to do. I was out of my, what is this? I wanted to disappear. I needed a bag over my head. I just needed something to hide. He schlepped me out of there. That was the end of that. And next year, he called me up. I went 2 years in a row with him. He said, "Are you taking me to the shir?" I said, "B'shum panavayfet. I'm not going with you under no circumstances. And I'm not taking you, and no matter what happens." And he said, "You know, Teva Tokum, Vadat ben Ezokin." He was a man in his 80s. And I was a young man in my 20s. He said, "Posek," I said, "what does it have to do with me?" I said, "Last year, what you did was absolutely unconscionable, and I'm not going to go through this again. I don't need it." Okay, finally, he convinced me to take him. I did. And this time, he loved the shir. It was half love a fella. Every 50 minutes, he kept saying to the Rav, "Good gizok, gizok, good. You're saying, well, you know what you're talking about, etc., etc." And the whole place was trying to calm him down, but he was just out of control, this little fella, and going himself. And so the shiur is over. He says, "Come, we're going up the steps of the Lamport, the two or three steps there." He hugs Rav Soloveitchik. What a hug and a kiss. And told him it was kedai to come to the shiur. I had such hanor. Fine. We leave the Lamport Auditorium, and a lot of people, till we got out. And finally, in the back, there was someone telling his friend, "Did you hear what JB said?" Bezalosh. So his ears perked up. It's a tall guy who said it. And he says, "Was it you gesagt? What did you say?" He says, "I'm talking to my friend. I said to my friend, 'Did you hear what JB said?'" He said, "JB? Das ruft the Golador?" He jumped up and smacked him on both cheeks. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to get out of there, and just this guy was just out of control. And that big guy, I thought he was going to pulverize him on the spot. I was sure of it. And then he tells him that Kesel also, he speak about the Godel Ador in such a fashion. I later on told this story to Avashachta. He told me, maybe JB, maybe he meant the, what do you call it, the liquor. He meant something. He wasn't referring to Asloveitchia. Maybe it was a Lashem Shevach. That's what Avashachta told me. I said, I don't think so. I don't think he had that in mind. But anyway, so this Meshe Schneider tells this guy, you're coming back with me. Davet Mechila for Avashabeh. You have to ask him for Mechila. So he said, I'm not going anywhere. He said, you're going with me. And he takes him by the arm. There's a whole audience watching this. Oh, wow. Very excited. And literally, he schlepped him all the way back to the front, which took about 15 minutes to get there. The unbelievable crowd. And he tells Rav Sheber, Ehot Evans Vazach, he wants to tell you something. So I said, Loz him up, Hamesha. Leave him alone. Don't bother him. Looks like a nice fellow. He asked Mechila from Rav Soloveitch. And then Rav Schneider said, Bimkom, the two slaps that I gave you, then he hugged him. Hugged this guy. Anyway, so, Baruch Hashem, we were zochet to see from Rav Soloveitchik, not just one Bishurim, but really an amazing human being, sterling luster of character beyond belief. One night, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I decided I need some rub to guide me a little bit. So I went from one person to the next, but my hashkafa is not so simple. I'm very all over the place, and I'm a bridge between all the worlds. And one of these, Rav Schechter calls me a museum piece. He introduced me that way a number of times. Anyway, I took that as a compliment, clearly. Blessed the Mohegans. So I decided after a number of years, pretty much early on in my tenure here in Eretz Yisrael, almost 25, 26 years ago, I met Rabbi Nevensol and decided he's the right man. I'm going to attach myself to him. And so I would actually call him at all hours of the day and night. I went actually to his sichot one night a week. He gave a sicha from 10:30 to 11. There were five people in Shivat HaKotel attending the sicha. Chanoch Teller and Rabbi Kimchi and two or three other people from Efrat. And then I asked him, can I be malavi him? Can I walk him? So he said, why do you want to walk me for? He said, Ani lo zakuk l'shum livui. I said, I see he walks around the old city. Why not? So I walked with him for 8 years from 11 to 12:30. 12:30 a.m. Then I came back to Beit Shemesh, and I would talk to him and learning and all my issues, whatever issues I had. And so I felt very comfortable with him. So I used to call him at night and sometimes called him when anything bothered me. So one night I called him at 4 a.m. and he answered the phone. And so I thought, wow, the man's available, Baruch Hashem, 24/7. And I remember a week or two later, I called him at 4 a.m. and his Rebbe said, Aleh Shalom, answered the phone. She knew my voice. She said, David, Yesh Lecha Shalom? So I said, no, not on me, at that point in time. Anyway, Rav Nevensol, I came one night to Shivat HaKotel, very late at night. It wasn't the night that I came to hear a sicha. I was in Yerushalayim for a wedding. I decided I'd go see what's happening over there to Rav Nevensol. I'm in Shivat HaKotel, it's 1 a.m. Not a soul in the Beit Midrash, except for Rav Nevensol. What is he doing? I see from a distance, looks like he's collecting svar. He's returning all the svarim to the, literally, Aronot Svarim. And if there's a Navi on top of a Chumash, he's writing the Savior, putting the Chumash on top of the Navi. This goes on for 15 minutes. I'm just observing this. This is at 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:10, 1:15, 1:20. I was astounded. So he didn't see me. I kept myself well hidden. And then finally I came over to him about 1:20, and I said, what is he doing? Why is he doing this kind of work? So he says, David, atalom akir Ramban, aru ashod akim is dibat torah zod asod notam. Ramban comments on this. The disciple quotes this. He pointed out a number of the card to me on the spot by returning the swarm to their place. I said, I was there chovah shemutel lakol achav shemistavish masefer lo al harav. So he says, b'mokom shein anoshim mishtadel yodish pilei ploy. And I began to get some sense of what he's all about. Besides being sholed in Kala Torah Kula, Kiddushim every Shabbos, I used to send Talmidim to him for years. Years, they literally frequented him. There was actually a period of time when I was a Rav here, and I went with Balabatim to him, to be tested. I used to go on Purim. On Purim, I used to go visit Rav Nevensol and test both. not your dalit. I still hold your dalit over here. Anyway, so I went on Tezvav, and then what happened was the following. I decided one day, and he would sell the Chon HaTarav al Sefer Daniel, to see if he knows Sefer Daniel. And so I picked the Aramaic section. I came with a big Tanakh, and I was hiding behind two big guys, so he wouldn't see that I have a Tanakh in front of me. And then I asked him to say over this parak and that parak. On the spot, he says over the entire parak in Aramaic. And then after 5 minutes, he tells me, okay, Rav David, achshav ze ator shelcha. So I said to myself, no problem, I got a Tanakh right here. He corrected me on the second word. Astounding bikiut, b'chol mechmanei HaTorah. And I became very connected with him. That was really a major connection that I had. I was zoche to come every year to visit Hagoyim of Rabbi Feinstein Zatzal. Why? I had steerers in Igros Moshe. So I used to come with my two copies of this chelek and that chelek, and then come to Rav David. And where was Rav David sitting? In a pizza shop on the Lower East Side. 100 people lined up, men, women, children. And I asked him once why he comes, he doesn't wear a long coat. When I was in his office, he said, you see that picture behind me of his father? I'm going to wear a long coat. He thought that was comedy hour, absolutely comical. Rav David was just an astounding gong, but such an anova, such a sneer, such a pashtut, unbelievable. So I remember I once asked him, I'll get back to this in a second. So I once asked him that, I told him over Pshat and the Ramban, so he said, you obviously live by my cousin. But the Rav, Rav Shaber, he was very mashiv the Rav, unbelievably. And he said, "That's my father doesn't exactly write like that in the Tshuvas. It's not the Ramban. You think you're reading the Ramban." So I used to ask him, Stiris, and Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, you know, the way Rav Moshe writes English, transliterated, anyone who knows the Tshuva, Igros Moshe, says, you think you're in the Rav Shaber Shia. You're not. My father didn't write like that. But the Pella was sitting in the pizza shop once a week on the Lower East Side, answering questions of all Klal Yisrael. It was like almost an entire morning devoting himself to Klal Yisrael. This is what I see among these Klal Yisrael. I don't know exactly what my time limit is. I get it's 9 o'clock, it's a minute from Iris, so what can I say? I'll just mention maybe what I heard once from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, with that I guess I'll be Messiah. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik commented on the Gemara in Ksubis, Adap Pei Zayin, famous Gemara. The Gemara actually discusses the Perek in Tehillim. The Gemara is on 9 here, I believe. The Gemara discusses Pasuk in Tehillim, B'nei Korach, Mizmor. And the Gemara asks on one of the Psukim over here, and the Gemara tells us Ish Re'ish. I'm not going to go through the whole discussion the Gemara has over here, but he told me over the following. I heard this from Avraham Soloveitchik in the 60s. At the time of the British mandate over Palestine, so they passed a law that set up a quota of Jews who could enter Palestine. Let's say Jews from Romania would be granted 100 certificates, and once happened that the Romanian quota was filled by Romanian Jews, and the Czechoslovakian quota was not. A number of Romanian Jews wanted to enter Palestine. They thought they'd produce false affidavits saying they were born in Czechoslovakia, but the Yerayim were Shleimim, Yerayim Shemayim. They came to Rabbi Chaim Zunfeld to ask him, are they allowed? He said, no, that's absolute sheker, dishonest. Then they contrived to produce a false affidavit to the fact they're born in Palestine. They asked Rabbi Chaim, is that permitted? He said, yes. Why? Why is that not sheker? He quoted this Gemara in Ksubis, namely the halacha of Ubitzion Yomer Ish veIsh Yulad Bo Echad Hador Bo veEchad Hametzapel Rota. I remember when Avraham Soloveitchik came to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik asked me to introduce him. That's when Arik Sharon said Ari Olam Yibavel. I was present over there in Ramah when he bought an apartment. Avraham Soloveitchik also had a tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael, and he spoke about it with tremendous passion and delight. So these are the Gedolei Yisrael. Many of them had a massive influence on my life. And Baruch Hashem, I was zoche. Gedolei Shemusha Shal Torah, Yosef Ibn Buda.
We will start davening Arav in 1 second, but I first want to tell you that Svarim are available in the Beis Medrash for 75 shekel. And I also want to let everyone know that on Monday, September 18th, Motze Songedaya, we were having Rav Asher Weishuda at Olam Menachem. The Shir will start at 8:45. I believe it's 8:30 Marv at Olam already, but there will be a second Marv after the 8:45 Shir. So thank you, Rabbi David, so much for coming. Svarim are available for purchase in the back of the Beis Medrash, 75 shekel. And thanks everyone for coming. And of course, please remember to save the date for September 18th. with Asher Weiss Shuka. Thank you.